Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Thank goodness we found those glasses, Pastor.
Yeah.
They were hidden.
Yeah, sitting right in front of me.
Yeah. They were right smack. You're looking in your jacket, you're feeling all your pockets, and I'm just smiling at you because I saw them the whole time.
You're ready to kick it off. Another program with, my Pastor Ken. Unbelievable.
You know, Pastor, the part of the scripture, manna from heaven, just keeps falling.
Yeah.
We're doing this show with you, manna from heaven, man. It's just you give me material every week. Pastor, you know I'm just kidding, man. It's good to see you, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Mike.
I'm excited about today's show. Tom Roy from UPI, who has just been phenomenal for us and giving us really good guests, sent along our guest phone number and name. And when I got Gavin Floyd on my phone, I went, man, I know Gavin Floyd. I was a big fan of his. He was a really good pitcher when he was with Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago White Sox. He was also with the Atlanta Braves, Cleveland Indians, Toronto Blue Jays. And we have a chance to talk with Gavin today on Faith in the Zone, and I'm excited about it. Hey, Gavin, thanks a lot for a few minutes of your time. How you been?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Hey, it's cold up here in Wisconsin. Gavin, I know that you're living in Florida, and I don't – look, I would love to be on Clearwater Beach eating a Frenchie's grouper sandwich. That's where I'd like to be right about now. You're familiar with that place?
Oh, yeah. I've had a grouper sandwich before.
Yeah, I'm telling you, anytime I'm down there, my brother Tim, who lives in Tarpon Springs, says, hey, let's get over to Clearwater Beach and get to Frenchie's, have a grouper sandwich. And when it's 7 degrees and it's windy here and you're kind of making fun of us, you boys down south, you're right, man. It would be a lot easier to be hanging out with you guys down there. Hey, let's talk a little bit, if we can, this first segment about your upbringing, where you were raised, and a little bit about your high school career.
I grew up in Maryland. I had two brothers. We were a big sports family. My parents would just rotate us around from one gig to another, you know, a sport in every season. So we were a big sports family. And growing up, I always picked on my brother. He always beat up on me, and I returned the favor on my younger brother, you know.
Oh, so you were in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a fun little household. So, there was enough, I was closer to my older brother than my younger brother. So my older brother, I was able to ride on his coattails a little bit more than my younger brother could with me, but we still had our bouts. It was fun looking back.
You know, Gavin, Kathy and I, we have four boys. Mike coached most of them. He coached really almost all my guys. And when you're talking about, the Bible says a brother is born for adversity. We saw it often in our house. So when you were just talking about beating up on your little brother, their little brother now is like 6'4", 220, and he's a Army Ranger, so there's no beating up on him anymore.
And I don't even want to coach him anymore, man. I'm not telling him to get on the line and give me a line. I'll just do it myself.
There is a point where your brothers are like, I can't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So they fought back and it hurt.
Yeah. So when you were talking about it, I was identifying. I'm thinking, man, I'm telling Kathy to listen to the broadcast Sunday because she's going to love it. Think, oh, I know exactly how it was. I tell mothers that have all boys, I said, you women are just flat tough. And they look at me and go, no, we're tired.
We're tired. And I have three grandsons that live right across the street. Keegan, Logan, and Beckett, I call it a Key Lobby for the three of them. And I think it's 8, 6, and 4. And this youngest one,
wow.
Gavin, this youngest one, I'm telling you, he is so ornery, and he just makes me laugh. He says things that you just kind of shake your head, but he's the one that will be in charge of this group, man. Oh, my goodness. Hey, were you a multi-sport athlete then?
Yeah, up until a certain point. I played pretty much, I tried everything. The only thing I didn't try was hockey. I wanted to try it. It was too late and it's too expensive.
Sure.
But, as a matter of fact, my son, this is a very side story, but I have a 7-year-old son, and the first sport he ever wanted to play was hockey.
Really?
So I was like, let's go for it.
And down in Florida, is there much hockey going on in the area that you're living?
Well, there, you know, you have the Tampa Bay Lightning that are real popular, so they're really kind of building a brand down here for Florida hockey, and I think there's a lot of followers and people that are picking up the game early, you know, and it's been good for the area in that respect. It's probably hard to get ice in 90-degree weather, but right. They figure it out somehow.
You can get it indoors somehow.
Yeah, or you can move up this way, just go out to the lake, man. You can, no worries at all on that. Hey, looking at doing some research, you were committed. I think you were going. Was it South Carolina that you were ready to go to college, University of South Carolina?
I think it was a senior. I committed in between junior and senior. I committed to South Carolina. My brother was going there, and my older brother, and he was going to be a junior, or he was a junior when I was a senior in high school. So I knew they had a really good baseball program, and that was kind of. If I was going to go the baseball route, that was college route. I wanted to be on a good team and somebody that's going to, you know, challenge me and be in a good league and stuff like that.
Well, and then Pastor, I don't know if you got to read this, but he was the 4th overall selection in the 2001 draft, and I think that kind of makes your decision for you at that point. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Phillies selected him right out of high school with the 4th pick in the draft, and off to minor league baseball, Gavin went. Gavin, when you look back at your years in the minor leagues, you know, we talked to a lot of guys, again, with the help from Tom Roy and UPI, a lot of guys that played professional baseball. And guys on this show, on Faith in the Zone, talk about how difficult, you know, it was to be in the minor leagues if they're trying to walk worthy. And I know that it was a little bit later on in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But those days in the minor leagues, man, there's a lot of distractions, a lot of temptation when you're in the minors, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the major leagues when I came to Christ. So it was a little later than – so I, as a young kid at 18 – in pro ball, you know, away from family, and I mean, with guys that have 3 years of college under their belt, and you have zero, and you're going from high school to on your own. It's there's a lot of downtime and a lot of things that you get thrown in that you learn, you experience, and you know, I wasn't a believer at the time, so I had no restrictions on a lot of things, but I mean, I watched, you know, what was cool is when I was in AAA and AA, mainly AAA, I was watching guys, you know, I wasn't a believer at the time, and but I did go to chapel once in a while, you know, kind of hope for a good start, you know.
Yeah, good little good luck charm. That's, you know, we hear that a lot too. You bet.
It's funny how you try to muster something, you know. Baseball's your world, you know, so it's you try anything, I guess, to get a good roll of starts or a good start, but it was the wrong thing to do, obviously. But when I was in AAA, I watched guys that, you know, carried around their Bibles. I had a girlfriend at the time, but my wife now, but they were walking, you know, faithfully, you know, and cared about guys and didn't, you know, love their wives, you know, and respected that relationship and that commitment and were faithful to them. And that was kind of eye-opening to me, because I was kind of like, man, they got something special, you know. And I obviously learned a little bit later what that was, but it was those guys that you play around that live, you know, live their relationship out with Christ in a clubhouse and in a baseball work setting. It's different, you know. It's very different, but at the same time, you look at them, you're like, man, they're men of integrity, they're men of character, they're men of respect. You can trust them. It was just something that I was like, man, that's something that I wanted.
Yeah, so they were really great examples to you. Hey, Gavin, so when you went minor leagues, did they send you, I mean, did you go right into single A or did you go double A? Tell our listeners here a little bit of what transpired there with you.
I came out of high school, I went straight to a low A, Lakewood, New Jersey, which was low A at the time. Well, it still is low A, and spent a full year there. I went to high A the next day, which was in Clearwater, Florida.
And then that was a nice promotion.
Yeah, you know, I lived here at the time, because when I got 18, you know, you move here and there's a lot of benefits from that, and to be around the local organization to work out and get kind of serious and on their program. Mm-hmm. But I got to live at home, you know. It was really cool. Oh, well, you know, my new home.
Sure.
And, but looking back on a story, you know, a couple stories as a starting pitcher, you in between starts, you'd have to go in the stands, you know, do some charting, do some radar gun, and there's some day games there where you're in college shirt and shorts and baking in the 98 degree weather, and you're just dying out there, sweating, and you feel like the sun's burning your head, and
you bet.
It's like it was hot.
Hey, I had a young guy that I coached in AAU basketball, and his dad is a really good friend of mine, and he went to high school here in Wisconsin, and he got drafted by the Rays, and he left-handed pitcher, he got drafted in the ninth round, and he went down to Florida, and he was there for 2 years, and he had arm trouble. He's now down in Chicago at DePaul University getting his degree. And he said, I never want to go to Florida again. He said, man, and he said the same thing you were saying. Look, you know, I get done doing the work I have to do, and then I've got to go chart, and I've got to do this and that, and I'm baking in the sun. He said, it's too hot for me. He didn't enjoy being in Florida very much.
Yeah, you're on borderline heat, exhaustion. I don't know what you call it, but it's like, I mean, you try to hydrate and stuff, but you take a shower. I mean, you take a shower, you're done the day, you go out and you're sweating like you didn't even go in a shower.
Right.
Or you didn't even dry off, you know? It's like, it's so hot. It's humid, you know? But
yeah, my brother loves
it. It doesn't take much time to get loose, that's for sure.
That's for sure. We're talking to Gavin Floyd, former major league pitcher with the Philadelphia Phillies. Around these neck of the woods, Chicago White Sox is where you would remember him most. He had a great career with the White Sox. He threw for Atlanta, Cleveland Indians, Toronto Blue Jays. He is our special guest for the entire hour. Next segment, we'll talk to Gavin about his testimony and talk a little bit about his walk and, you know, certainly his faith and how it's affected his life professionally and personally. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host. He is Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest this week, he is Gavin Floyd, former Major League Baseball pitcher, Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago White Sox, Atlanta Braves, the Indians, and the Blue Jays. Pastor, doing some research for the show, there was, I read a number of articles about Gavin Floyd, and I'd read one, and then I grabbed the second one, couldn't put it down, grabbed the third one. Here's a quote that really jumped off the page for me. And it seemed like it's like him and I are twins, I'm telling you. He said this, Gavin Floyd, I ended up isolating myself from the guys I used to hang out with and trying not to do what I used to do with them. I was becoming a Pharisee. For some reason, I felt like when I failed, I lost my salvation. And then, I'm getting back, getting focused and praying, and then I'd mess up again. And I had this weight of my shoulders about trying to perform for God. I was trying to be perfect, but I couldn't do it. And I'm telling you, man, I read that, and I read it again, and I literally took the article, made a copy, went right back to the guy that you know here at the station, because a half hour prior, we were just having this conversation. Yeah. And I said, hey, you need to read this, because Gavin Floyd, I don't think I could ever hit his fastball. Maybe his curve if he hung one. But I can't. Him and I are like twins. Gavin, I'm only kidding with that. I always talk this kind of smack, but
yeah, he talks,
please
baby.
Understand. When I read that you could throw at 95 or 93, you'd have to hang it pretty slow for me to catch up to any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So
that quote just
resonated perfect. Yeah. With what I was going through a while, especially when I was really just starting my walk as a Christian.
Yeah, with the Lord, yeah. Well, Gavin, I mean, you know what our program's about, and it's unlike anything that I know of in the country where we are able to talk to men like yourself, Gavin, who can tell us really how your journey of faith began. You know, I mean, Jesus said you must be born again. John the Baptist kept preaching that same message, and I hear so many times people go, well, I've always been a Christian. And yet, we're not always Christian. We need to come to the Savior, and that's our journey, how it begins. And so, Gavin, we'd love for you to just share with us your story, how that took place in your life.
I think God kind of started, I mean, he's always touching us and trying to get us to acknowledge him and to surrender to him, but I felt through, hardships in baseball. I think really I had baseball such a high on a pedestal in a sense before anything else. And when that was getting rocked and I was at a low, you know, not sure what life was, you know, if baseball's done, then, you know, what am I going to, you know, just all these big questions. And that kind of opened up a lot for God to, I started asking those big questions, you know. It's just, and I remember reading a couple books, like Lee Strobel's Case for Christ.
Yep, and that's a great one.
And the Golf Sacred Journey, The Links of Utopia, and one that when you're mentioning that quote, one book called The Cure that really change from performance to grace. And it was just like, I mean, talk about weight coming off the shoulders. It was amazing. But God is so good and it's just like it's a rejoice. It's a praise when I realized that it wasn't about me. It was about what he's done, you know. And mm-hmm. But when I was coming through baseball troubles, I got traded to the White Sox, and I did have an opportunity to compete for a spot and stuff, and I was able to figure a little bit out in baseball, and but at the same time came under mentorship of Mickey Weston from the White Sox and Scott Linebrink, who was a bullpen guy who really kind of he was like, hey, you want to get together and just do a devotional, you know? And I was like, sure. You know, I was open to it. I was on my own searching inside, and we had a lot of great talks. And, when you come to read and listen and you're like, man, this is, I came to like that intellectual of there's a lot of evidence here, and he's real, and what happened was real. And when I came to that position, you know, obviously, I think it's not every. I don't know if everybody gets to this point, but you almost feel like, you know, you see, you know, a priest or a pastor, Pastor Ken, and you're like, man, I gotta be them. You know, I mean, I'm gonna have this like amazing switch that comes on, and I'm gonna be like, holy, it's gonna be awesome. And right. I tried to. You do because of Jesus' name, but the sanctification part is a lifelong process.
Absolutely, and, sure is.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say you're right on. We're in Romans right now, and it's three chapters there about sanctification. That's really God chipping off the sinful edges of my life now as His child, and you're absolutely right. Gavin, let me just ask you one quick. Did you have any church background when you were growing up at all with your family? Or
I would say it was more like, you know, on holidays we'd go.
Yeah, Christmas and Easter, that kind of thing?
Christmas and Easter, and maybe a couple times in between if, you mm-hmm. know, they got us out of bed or something like that. But mm-hmm. it was, we didn't practice it per se, you know. Mm-hmm. It was more about being good people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, or, you know, just doing things right to others or, you know, it was a loving family, but we, mm-hmm. and I went to a Catholic high school and, they had, you know, subtle influences as far as, you know, just being around the face of Jesus on things and being in the, you know, Bible being taught a little bit, and yeah. you know,
they,
so I had a little bit influence, but not. I wouldn't say I had like I didn't know how to really walk or anything like that, or what that looked like.
Well, a lot of times, you know, even like when Mel Gibson came out with The Passion of Christ, you know, and you see the historical evidence of what he did, what he did on the cross, and yet. You come away from that and you go, well, why did he do it? You know, I mean, it just, it's like it never quite comes out. And so, you know, people can have a head knowledge of who Jesus is or what the Bible says. And I know, Mike, you've talked about it before, but, you know, just this head knowledge isn't the answer. That's not the faith, because, you know, I can say I believe in Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, and that's not really making any changes.
Well, they talked, and we had somebody on that said, look, I knew Jesus Christ. I knew him the same way I knew Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I knew all the stories. Yeah. I just didn't know him personally
yeah.
at all.
Mm. Yeah. And so at what point in with the baseball, when it kind of hit, did you say, man, I am searching for an answer here? And then, and it sounds like maybe it was in Chicago with the coaches that you said, man, I want to know Jesus personally and invite him into my life. Is that how that happened, or when did that exactly happen?
You know, it was kind of over a couple of years, but I would say I was with the Phillies at the time when I okay. started reading books and stuff, and right when I got traded, I started really kind of seeking, you know, like, what, you know, who am I, you know, why are we here, and, you know, who is God, you know, or, mm-hmm. you know, what's my future look like? Or, you know, it was a lot of, you know, selfish questions, but at the same time, you know, a lot of good questions too.
Well, Gavin, you know, one thing the Bible is pretty clear on is if God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And it sounds like that's exactly what was taking place in your life.
Yeah, it was to look back, you know, you look at how God brings people and even messages and, you know, maybe a song or something like that, that he just brings so much to kind of lead you along. And when I came to the White Sox, I had Mickey Wesson was the chaplain for the White Sox, and Scott Linebrake, they kind of helped me in the knowledge of God, and Mickey helped me tremendously with my spiritual walk. But I didn't realize my need for a savior until, like, I tried to be my savior, you know, mm-hmm. until I try to be holy or try to fight the fight by my own bootstraps, you know, and realize that
yeah.
I, you know, it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to live that life by yourself. And when I read that book, The Cure, and I mean, I read Romans about justification, and it all came together, and sanctification, it all came together, and I got it. And I was just like, God, you know, I need you. I need you, Jesus.
Mm, that's powerful.
I need you to help. I need help. And I saw God work when I let go. It was very powerful, because I, you know, when you live a, you know, a certain amount of your life, you know, away from God, you know, you try to be a good person, but you still have a lot of, I mean, those choices that you make, and they accumulate, and you don't at the time see the effects they have down the road. And when I was trying to, you know, untangle those knots and messes, it was overwhelming for me. And that's when I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. I need you. And that's when I received Christ and was like, you know, he's my savior, you know?
Yeah. Gavin, you mentioned something, you know, you said you're trying to do it yourself, and then you see, man, I blew it here and I blew it here. And then all of a sudden, it's amazing how those sins kind of start mounting up. You know, I try to tell people, hey, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Let's say I only sin 10 times a day. Well, if Kathy's not listening to the broadcast today, let's say I only try to sin 3 times a day. I think I'm pretty good. You know, maybe I only got mad at one driver on the road today, or whatever it might be. But 3 sins times 365 days of the year is well over 1,000. And if I live to be 70, my word, I have 88,000 sins to my shame. And it only takes one sin to separate me from God. So, I mean, we are desperate when God says, hey, I'm not lowering the standard down. You have to be perfect. And what you discovered was, man, I'm a sinner, and Jesus is perfect, and he is the one who paid for me to know I can live with God one day. And I just, when you said, man, the sins kind of just, they seem like they kept mounting up, I thought, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So how many, and I grew up in a Catholic school as well, Gavin, and they told me to carry the Bible, don't open it, we'll let you know what's in it. But I grew up thinking, if I was just a good kid, had I thought this through, 80,000 sins, how many old ladies do I have to help walking across the street with bags to cover 80,000 sins?
That's a bunch, Mike.
That's a bunch, right?
Yeah.
Hey, before we get to a break, this article that was in Sports Spectrum that they did with Gavin that I just, again, we're talking to Gavin Floyd, former Major League Baseball pitcher. I'm going to get one more quote from him. And after he talked about the book, The Cure, and it says, turns out God wasn't who Floyd thought he was. And this is quoting Gavin Floyd. The book was very instrumental in my life because I learned that I was justified in Christ. A huge light bulb came on. It was enormous for me. Yeah. And I feel just, I know exactly how he's feeling. He loves me through the things I struggle with. I felt free to live with him without condemnation, guilt, and shame. I guess I didn't understand the full gospel until then. Justification is so deep. You read Romans, and you're going to love this, Pastor, and it's so rich with justification. It was like, I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, it's quoting Gavin Floyd. This article, for me, there was four or five different parts where I just started laughing. I was like, man, he is just, he's writing my whole life right there. Let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. Former Major League Baseball pitcher, Philadelphia Phillies, the White Sox, the Braves, the Indians, the Blue Jays. He is Gavin Floyd, and we'll continue with him on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Accurate Basement Repair. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. He is Pastor Ken Keltner. Our special guest, former Major League Baseball pitcher, Gavin Floyd. Hey, Gavin, when we ended the last segment, you know, that quote for me, and you know, we talked during the breaks, and you said, look, I haven't really thought of that article for a while. But it's amazing how it rings out to guys like me that when the light bulb goes on and you know that the Lord loves us through our struggles. It does. It frees us up, man. It frees us up from my favorite book is the book of Ephesians. You try to put on the full body of armor every day, and sometimes you fail before you get out of bed. And if I was back being a young Christian, I would get out of bed and my first sin would happen, and I would think I just blew the whole day. Mm-hmm. And he can't accept me because of this. And then once that light bulb went on for me, and it sounds like for you as well, boy, it just frees you up to live for him.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's when I went through this. It went from, you know, to a praise, you know, I praised him. It was like almost like he wiped everything away. And he, like I said, like loved me through my mistakes. And at that point, did I understand the weight of my sin? I took my sin differently than before. It wasn't a free card per se, or a free ticket to sin. It was like, man, if you look at the picture of what he, or the story of what he did, he went to amazing lengths, gruesome lengths to save us. And that, I looked at sin way different when I understood how he justified me and, us and everybody who believes in him, and sin became, I looked at sin differently, and I was able to understand Ephesians, like we talked about, of body of armor, taking it up every day and being prepared. And because Jesus talked about not just actions, he talked about heart issues, you know, and that's overwhelming when you try to have good heart issues, which are impossible to change only by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And then you have on top of that, you know, physical issues or addictions or whatever it is that you have. It's like, it's overwhelming. So when I understood the justification part, it was a joy. I mean, it was like a celebration, and I looked at life as an opportunity to share him every day. Looked at the clubhouse differently. I looked at those guys that I alienated because I needed to step away and not be influenced by what I was doing with certain guys, you know, and I looked at those guys differently as like, you know, I'm going to love them, you know, because Christ loved me, loved us first. I'm, you know, and,
sure.
And I looked at, my lens changed completely, you know.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. That's when you, that's your lens. I always thought that I have to avoid, not only, you know, Gavin, we haven't talked about any of the struggles that you had, but the articles that I've read, the word addiction came up. And I don't know if you're drinking or drugging or both, but look, I was so ashamed by it, and I never wanted to really talk about it. Then we started doing this show, and I tried to really, you know, just kind of like on the surface, maybe touch a little bit. And then I talked to Pastor, and I talked to some other guys, and they said, look, when you make that comment about some guys, the worst they've ever done is steal a candy bar, and then the things that you've done, if you're willing to talk about that, there are guys that are out there struggling with the stuff that you used to struggle with. And we can't, you know, us guys, that the worst we ever do is steal a candy bar, we can't go to those guys and say, we know what you're going through. But a guy like you, if you're willing to open up and not be ashamed and not be embarrassed about your past life, you can reach some guys. And I know,
absolutely.
Yeah, I absolutely. Know there are some coaches, you know, I've been a basketball coach for 36 years. I know some of these guys, and they listen to this show. And I know that they know. And if they ever call me and say, hey, let's talk about this, because I know what you used to be like years ago, and I see you walking a little different right now, and I listen to you and the things that you're saying, man, all they have to do is call me, and I'll have this conversation, because I'm not ashamed of, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed. It's what I was doing back then, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Amen. Mike, that's good.
And that is awesome, because we need men like that. I needed men like that, that would be open to share and help through and care and love and be like, you know, we're all in the same boat here, you know, no matter what we do, you know, what we, our pasts are, you know, we have the solution and it's a relationship with Christ, you know, and help they walk through that with people, with men for me was crucial that were Christians.
Yeah. You know, the theme music for this show, Pastor Marlon Locke is a pastor here in the city of Milwaukee, and there's a line in the song that says, I am not the man I want to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Mm-hmm. And we use that music for that line, for that specific line, because that I can't say it any better than that. I'm not nearly the man I want to be, but boy, I thank God. Like every day, I'm not the man I used to be. And the guys, hey, Gavin, another quick question before we get to a break. We've had on some, you know, former professional athletes that said, look, there was a time in my life that I thought I had everything I wanted. I was, you know, high up in my career, one of the better players in our league. I had all the money I needed. My wife was a 10. My girlfriend was a 10. I had 2 cars, 3 houses. And I was sad. I wasn't happy. And I couldn't figure out why. Did you go, and you don't need to talk about that my wife is a 10 and my girlfriend is a 10, but I'm saying, did you realize, you know, you were at the top of your game. Did you realize at one point, like, this is everything I've searched for and I'm still not happy?
It was a reminder pretty much every day that, you know, because when that happens, your world changes, you know, your perspective, you're so, people look at you differently, relationships, family, everything changes in a sense of your sphere, you know, and people come out of woodworks, you know, it's just like a lot of things, your attention and the accessibility to things, and it's amazing how... It is a sad existence in a sense. It can be sad, but it's very empty, I should say. A selfish existence, a very empty existence.
Very much so.
Yeah, you're living for the next big thing, and then it's over, and oh, brother, here I go again.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're aware of the temporality of things, even purchasing or. Pleasure seeking, or you know, whatever, an alcohol or tobacco or you know, the internet, you know, whatever it is, it's how temporal, how that cyclical it is, and you're like, I'm just going in circles right here. This is like, and I feel the same even when I purchase that or when it disappears. You know, it's like, yeah, it's very empty. It's a filler, and it doesn't last.
It does not. He is Gavin Floyd, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Philadelphia, Philly, Chicago, White Sox, Atlanta Braves, Indians, Toronto Blue Jays. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we've got one short segment left. I'm going to ask him if he had a chance to come up to Milwaukee and throw either at County Stadium or Miller Park. And then we'll find out. I know you love asking, you know.
Yeah, what was his highlight of your career?
Low-light something. And whether it was high school or it was you know, single A ball or professional baseball, when he thinks back to his career, you know, what was the greatest highlight for him? And then I'm going to ask him if he could pitch one more inning, what uniform would he put on? Be the Phillies, White Sox? Maybe it would be his high school team. We'll find out. Again, he is Gavin Floyd, our special guest. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone. A journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, Gavin Floyd. You know, I've said former. It might not be former because he might be making a comeback. He has pitched with the Philadelphia, Philly, Chicago, White Sox, Atlanta Braves, Indians, Toronto Blue Jays, and he's starting to throw again. Maybe I should fly down the floor to get in the batter's box, man.
He'll pull something before he gets out of the dugout.
You better have a lot of baseballs because I'm going to start losing these.
I'm going to tell you, your only chance is right now. So I'm going to Florida.
Oh, that is beautiful, Gavin. You know what? I will remember that one. I've been waiting for a comeback like that for a long time.
I can't even hit a slow pitch softball than church softball league anymore. But I might go lefty on you and just try to pull one. I'm just kidding. I talk a lot of smack up here in Milwaukee, man, no doubt. Hey, we got just a short segment, so I've got a couple of questions for you. With the teams that you've played for so far, if you could go right now and throw a couple innings, what uniform would you put on?
The ones I've played for?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't think there was one that I wouldn't want to play for. You know, I have a lot of memories in Chicago, so it's and some really beginning memories with Philadelphia. Chicago is a beautiful city, and Toronto, we really enjoy Toronto, and Atlanta, Cleveland. I mean, man, it's hard to say. Just I'm in a position where I'm looking for an opportunity, so any opportunity is great, you know. So I'm just. To be able to throw the ball again would be amazing.
Did you get a chance to pitch against the Brewers here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I did. I pitched against them when I was the Phillies and the White Sox.
Miller Park?
I think I did with the Braves.
Yeah, I would think Miller Park, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Miller Park several times. I want to say 3 or 4 times.
Now tell us you'd love to come and pitch in Miller Park regularly.
Well, hopefully we've roughed you up a little bit. hopefully my Brew Crew boys, you know, roughed you up a little bit and, you know, hit a couple in the gap and, you know, that kind of – look, I'm a Brewer guy. I'm sorry, Gavin. I know you've been kind to give us your time, but my loyalty is with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Understandable. You'd have to look back, but I think there was a spring training game that maybe like one of those exhibition games that they hit me a little bit.
Gavin, what was your most, as you think back in baseball or sports in general, what was the most exciting, thrilling, fulfilling either game, pitch, hit, bucket, or whatever you did? Can you think back of that?
Man, You know, I think the most on the top of the list was probably the first game I ever was able to pitch at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. I think just as a 21-year-old and you're there for a September call-up and you're filling in for Randy Wolf because he's injured, and you get, every fifth day, and that one first inning, I just remembers, like, I was so overwhelmed. I got done the first inning and I was like, I'm done,
Probably wiped out physically.
I'm like, hold on. You know, I had to catch myself because I was just like so excited. And then I was like, wait a minute, I got to go back out there. Stay focused.
So how did you pitch that first inning?
I think it was 1-2-3.
Oh.
My first strikeout was
That's all right.
Sorry. No. It was it was from the Mets.
Cliff Floyd.
Yeah, it's that memorable, right?
Was it Cliff Floyd?
Cliff. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say Cliff Floyd.
Oh, man.
He's
good.
You know
baseball.
The last name was Floyd.
I caught one my whole life at going to County Stadium and going to Miller Park. Caught one foul ball. Cliff Floyd.
The Mets.
What? I'm not kidding. We're sitting in the seats for the radio station, and my son Matthew and his buddy Tommy St. Peter, and Terry said, boy, when lefties come up, we got to be careful. And my son said, oh, I got you. I'll protect you, Mom. Cliff Floyd hit a BB right at her. I put my hand on the side of her head, and it hit me right in the hand, and it dropped, and I picked it up. And my son had dove out of the way. It was, and so we all signed it, and it was Cliff Floyd. Isn't
that
funny?
How about that, man? That's great.
Hey, I got really quick before we get out. Good news, bad news, Pastor.
Yeah.
Here, let me read this. Good news. On July 24th, and it was the Blue Claws he was pitching for, Gavin, he threw a no-hitter against the Lexington Legends. That's the good news. You want to know the bad news? He lost 1-0. He lost. He loses.
Throws a no hitter.
They a pair of errors in the sixth inning, and he loses 1-0. The first time since 1966 a pitcher had lost with a no hitter. Matt Gavin, sometimes the luck just isn't with us. Matt, I really appreciate your time, brother.
Real quick, to extend on that, in high school I threw a no hitter. It was against BJ Upton's team in high school, and I lost.
So you haven't done real well with no-hitters.
No, and then I had a no-hitter in AA, and I got taken out in the ninth inning, seven. I don't know if they were seven innings or nine innings at that time, but I think it was nine. Why would it be seven? It was probably nine. I'm thinking high school. We lost that game, too. So no-hitters one-hitters are good. We win with those. So. Oh,
that's awesome. Hey, if you talk to Scott Linebrick again, you tell him we said thank you, that he took the time. And Mickey Weston, that we know well, him and Tom Roy with UPI, I want to thank those guys again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's awesome. Gavin Floyd, thanks so much. Good luck with your comeback. And if there's anything that you need from us boys up here in Milwaukee, please don't hesitate to call.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys.
Okay,
thank you, Gavin.
Pastor, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Mike.
Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.